from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea. When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up.
The A so on my chest, Adam Silver's doing the thing that Roger Goodell does in a Super Bowl time. He's very available for interviews, and he is a commissioner. People want to speak to him. Got to give the State of the Union when it comes to the game that he shepherds. And he spoke on a couple things as he was doing his tour. We'll get to sound a little bit later on his next fix for the All-Star game. But he also mentioned that he doesn't care who makes the finals. You know, a lot of people believe the NBA is always looking for the big markets. And he said, hey, no one cares when the Packers and the Steelers make the Super Bowl. Those are two legacy franchises in smaller markets. But you guys would champion that while talking about the Thunder and the Pacers. It's always a criticism and a conversation about who's not going to watch. One of the main differences is, if not the most important one, the two teams in this final aren't legacy franchises. Neither one has won a title in this league under their current name. Like, the Thunder won as the Sonics, and we talked about how the history would revert back to the Sonics if they ever got a team again. And I think the Pacers won in a different league. They won a championship in a different league. So they're not exactly two of the franchises people think about and think about winning and legacy. But the games on the floor and how they get played will matter more, at least for me, than who's actually in it. But using the Packers and the Steelers ain't a great example, ain't a great pushback on why people, if they are concerned, shouldn't be concerned about the potential ratings for a Thunder Pacers finals. Look, we can all accept that it'll be lower rated, and not just specifically because it's Thunder Pacers, is because it's two relatively anonymous teams to the rest of the, let's say, casual basketball world. There is not a big draw. The NBA doesn't do a great job marketing their game. And for people who love the game, they always talk about how the most prominent voices in the game do more talking down on the game in another comparison to the NFL. The NFL generally is celebrated no matter what the game is. It's why you can get Bryce Young versus Derek Carr, and it'll be a game that's more highly rated than a LeBron-Steph game in the middle of the week on a Thursday night on TNT. Part of why football dominates. Plus, the lack of games as well. Scarcity means hey, every game's an event, even if it is a bad one. Even if it's a bad event, it's still an event that people will tune into. We know NFL is king. NBA is way behind. And one of the reasons they are is a game they used to showcase and shine in, and it brought a lot of attention and people loved it, was the All-Star game. Once again, with more avenues to watch, you are regularly given the chance to watch All-Stars in the East play the West on a night-to-night basis. Just think if Michael Jordan played in the game today, some people only saw him on NBC on a weekend. Now, or maybe you had WGN at the time, but now you would have been able to watch Michael Jordan all the time. So it's not special to watch Steph Curry. I get to watch Steph Curry anytime I want. Watching Steph Curry play in the All-Star game doesn't mean anything. And then you throw in the fact that the guys don't care. There's a lot of factors that make the All-Star weekend less important than it was before.
Yes. Also, the wow, I get to watch all these guys play on the same team. I get to watch Kobe and Tim Duncan and Steve Nash and all these guys on the same team now, where, like, we have just seen Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden on the same team, and they didn't really do anything. Yeah. Like we just seen these star conglomerates. So just the simple act of just like, wow, look at these two guys on the court at the same time. That's not as special.
No, it's not. Whether you want to blame the Celtics and their big three or the Heat in their big three for changing the way teams are built and how stars go play with each other as opposed to sticking with playing against each other, that's up to you. But Adam Silver, I'll give him credit for this. He does try. He continues to try to do things to make their showcase event, besides the finals, something you should care about. And his latest is something that was long discussed, but he confirmed it yesterday. Here's what the new All-Star Game format will be.
But what about the concept of USA versus the world? Is that something that we will see possibly next year as you continue to try to tinker with the weekend?
Yes. So next year, as part of our new media deals, the All-Star Game returns to NBC, where it was when we were younger. And it so happens that next season will be smack in the middle of the Winter Olympics. So, in fact, the game will be on NBC, and the very day we're on, there'll be the lead-in will be Winter Olympic events, and then coming out of the All-Star Game, which is now going to be in the afternoon instead of the evening, there'll be more Olympic events. So what better time to feature some form of USA against the world? I'm not exactly sure what the format will be yet. I mean, obviously paid a lot of attention to what the NHL did with the...
Which was a huge success.
Yeah. Which was a huge success.
The Frozen Four that was awesome.
It was great.
But also, you know, going back, you know, last summer, our Olympic competition was a huge success. I mean, those games, USA, Serbia, USA,
France. I love
France.
Watching it.
And by the way, to your point about the European style, I mean, a more physical style of basketball, a 40-minute game, which
is why
reference
again.
You
love the 40-minute
game. I just said it happened to be a 40-minute game in the Olympics. But yeah, we're not changing it. But
thank
it
you.
Was, but I think that's another example.
So you heard him. It will be U.S. versus the world. And you heard I think that was Carthen and I forgot the other guy's name who was there.
It's on Breakfast Ball.
That's a Fox show?
Yes. Craig Carton.
Carton, yeah.
Mark Schlereth and Danny Parkins.
Okay. So credit to that show and those people for that. But I've talked about this before, and you heard them talk about how much they like the Olympics and the Frozen Four, the Four Nations in hockey this past year, and how good that was, or at least, was that 2024? Or maybe it was early this year. Either way.
That was this past February.
All right, last February. Okay, got it. But the difference, I would say, is those weren't one-offs. Those were tournament games. You had group stage games. Then you had semifinals, then a final. There was a build-up. And, of course, the guys cared. That will always be the underlining thing. Will the guys care about the game and be competitive? You heard the reference to FIBA and more physical style of basketball. Would we get that? Would an international, or at least in this case, a world versus U.S. game mean as much to, let's say, the Serbian representatives as opposed to just playing with their countrymen in a chance to go win a gold medal? I'm going to say now, no. I'm going to say that Jokic will care less about USA versus the world than he did the chance to win a medal for his home country playing with his fellow countrymen.
Plank against the U.S.
Yes.
Too. Like, that's something that if you watch the Court of the Gold documentary on Netflix, basically all the non-U.S. teams are just like, man, it would mean so much if we beat the U.S. They, like, every U.S. game is just like, God, we need to beat the U.S. is how every other team takes it. And that's not how the U.S. views it. Is not like, God, we really need to beat Serbia. It's just, we just need to win this thing. So I don't know how much it will mean really on both sides. For, like you said, the world people to be playing for the world and not, you know, their actual country
and
on their chest.
And their anthem being played as they get started.
I also don't know what it will mean for the USA guys. Just feeling like, God, this is an All-Star game. Like, no one cares.
Like I said,
no one's going to remember who wins this in June.
Credit to him for trying anything he can to make that what they believe should be a showcase event feel like one. I just don't think the one-off will garner the interest they hope it will, and I don't think it'll motivate the players to play at a level that those other international tournaments that were referenced got to.
Yeah, it's such a funny case because it's like, it still rates really well.
Yes.
Or it's still like relative to just a normal like broadcast. It still rates well. Like, it is still an event. It's just that every year people are wholly unsatisfied with it.
Yeah.
And it's so much of a, you know, basically a work convention for NBA business, even less so like the actual players and agents and stuff, but it's like literally for the NBA and their sponsors to all congregate in one place. So it like kind of can't go away, even though that's the like that's probably the solution. It's just like
get
like,
rid of it. Just give the guys
playing this anymore.
5 days off and
yeah,
be done with it.
Maybe do a dunk contest. You know, dunk and three like the skill stuff.
Yeah,
like maybe just do the Saturday stuff and that's it. But you kind of have to play a game. So what about this? You know, like it's kind of like the college football proposal where like the third place team would play the sixth place team if four SEC teams are guaranteed in, where it's like, well, we need something. We need a game to be happening on championship Saturday. And if four teams get in, it doesn't matter who actually wins the SEC anymore. But what if we did this? And it's just a way to make this still an event that people care about. And I think that's kind of where the NBA is, where it's like technically too successful to cancel, but also there's no way to satisfy people.
Yeah, they're stuck. And it is a problem because their best players decided the game doesn't matter. And we took note and we said, you know what? It doesn't really matter.
The thing is, though, but people still get upset when
because it's a nostalgia thing. They remember when they did care, and then they go out there and go. And there's a lot of factors. Well, these guys get paid a lot of money. They're out there and they're not trying. It's basketball. How come you can't try? And then why can't it be like it was before? When of course it was mostly about the fourth quarter, and if the game was close, we would get these back and forth battles. But to the people pushing against the current way it's played, I will agree. At least even in those first three quarters where the competition level wasn't at its highest, the game still felt more like basketball. Sure, you have your breakaways, your lobs, your three-pointers, but it in most cases, it felt like the guys were at least trying to keep it close enough that they could have a back-and-forth in the fourth. We just don't get that very much anymore. Whoever decided that the games and particularly the first one through three didn't matter as far as the quarters are concerned. Whoever decided that, as far as on the player side, it probably led to some unintended consequences. Yeah. Where now we're doing anything we can to make the game be something that people should care about.
It's also just kind of like how the game gets played now, where so many threes get taken just in like a normal game now. That part of the like all-star game thing is like each player kind of wants a moment to like, you know, have a highlight basically. And there's a little bit of a non-aggression pact.
Sure.
In that, in the first three quarters where they're just like, hey, we all know that we're all just trying to like, hey, have a cool moment. All right, cool. We'll kind of let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it is that it's these long step back threes. And if one team is just really hot, they just have a guy who's making them and one team doesn't, then it's just a blowout. So like the games themselves, just because there's more variance in the shots that they're taking, it is like going to be a blowout more often than it would have been 20 years ago, where at the end of the day, it still is like Tim Duncan posting up for a shot. Yeah. And then on the other side, it's Shaq posting up for a shot.
The variance we see in games that count, regular season to postseason, go to an extreme.
Yeah.
In the All-Star game.
When you dial down the actual competition.
Yeah, where 20-point leads don't matter as much in the regular season anymore because of how many threes are taken. Same can be said for the All-Star game, except a 20-point lead can go to a 30-point lead, and then the other team's like, okay, well, what yeah, are we doing
we're done.
Here? Yeah, we're done here.
I'm doing this for free.
Yeah, but I did not know it would be moving back to the afternoon, which is also something we remember when we were younger, the game being on actually broadcast television and NBC, and also being an afternoon event as opposed to a Sunday night event. So NBC has Round Ball Rock. They have the All-Star game. We'll see.
They have Michael Jordan.
We'll see if Michael Jordan is at the All-Star game.
It's basically 90s basketball. It's back.
And we'll see if the ratings reflect that as all the nostalgia things we remember from when the game was good. I put that in quotes for people who can't see. We will see if that makes people want to watch the All-Star game. And Adam Silver's trying his best to get you there. So we'll go to break with that. We got Michael Carroll coming up here in about 10 minutes. And if you want to get in, whether it be to ask him a question or just talk about whatever on the show, you can. 713-780-3776. Me and Sean, till noon, we will be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We got a little bit of time, so we can do something quick here before we are joined by Michael Carroll. The Ringer put out their top 100 players in the NBA right now. Knowing this Rockets roster, Sean, the totality of it right now, how many guys do you think make the list? Numbers, we can get into who made it, but how you think about who they have, top 100, how many guys do you think made the list?
Shingun, Thompson, Van Vliet. And then I'll say like one more. So four.
You are undervaluing the Rockets roster, at least according to the Ringer.
Five.
Six. Six guys in the top 100.
They love themselves some Jock Landale.
Not on the list.
Oh.
Didn't play enough, apparently, to make the list. Yeah, I'm sure he's like 104 or something. Right behind whoever. Let's see.
Bronny.
Unlikely there because he's in the top 100.
97? What?
You're low on Bronny. Alperen Şengün is their top-rated guy at 36.
Yeah, 36. Wow.
Yes, and Amen Thompson comes in at 41. So those are their two top-rated guys. Then you have a bit of a drop-off. Who do you think out of the six is the lowest-rated but still makes the top 100?
Lowest-rated still makes the top. I'll pick one. I'll go Tari Eason.
Jalen Green at 98. Tari's in the list, but he is higher than Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green. Dylan Brooks, 93. Tari, 88. Fred is at 64.
64. Which so it's those three. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So no Jabari. Okay.
No Jabari. He did not make the list. But the Rockets have six guys, and Jalen at 98. And you know, it's all the things we talk about him. We've talked about Jalen Green so much, but it's echoed here in the deep dive. So that's I think the Thunder only have six. So the Rock, but higher up on the list.
I was going to say they probably have one or two.
Yeah, they have two.
Like
20.
Number one or the guy who's number one or number two.
Yeah, their first three guys are ahead of all the first Rocket guy. Yeah.
I think Şengün, what'd you say, 36?
36, yeah.
I think little too low, and Amen Thompson, 41, a little too high.
So let's think about it. Not that their ratings have to coincide with the All-Star team, but if we just go by, if we remove the young players that were part of the All-Star festivities.
The rising star.
Like the traditional, as much as it can be right now, traditional All-Star teams, what is it, 12 or 15?
It was, well,
before
it's 12.
All the alternates.
It's two 12 teams.
12, so
two teams.
They have him a full team below.
Yes.
An All-Star.
And, I mean, we don't even have to do All-Star. We can do All-NBA.
All-NBA. Which
he
is-
was the leading vote-getter that was off the third team. So he was number 16.
If you go by that, he would be 16. And they have him at 36. I think
I would put him like at 25, 26 range. Actually, let me pull up the list.
Do think the NBA media certainly gave Alperen Şengün credit because of the success of the Rockets. I do think they bumped him up. I think he made the All-Star team. I think his numbers on a team who isn't as good as the Rockets don't land him on the All-Star team. But, hey, you got the 2 seed. Let's pick the best player on the 2 seed, and he becomes an All-Star. It's not a shot at him. I just think that's the reality of it. You look at – I think there are other guys with better numbers, but if you're contributing to winning in the way that he was, I think you get that by default. So,
like Sabonis being higher than him, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, what are we doing?
I don't think that is as crazy as maybe you do. I just think because of the team he's on, in some circles, he's going to get more credit. But if you look at Sabonis, the counting stats for Sabonis.
But isn't that also, like, flawed or just, like, this guy with a bunch of counting stats?
Well,
on the
it depends.
Team?
If he's not – well, not that you're saying the Kings are terrible, but in most cases, a lot of people talk about how you're the –
yeah.
How you are you're
like
in the middle.
Trae Young is 33.
Yeah, you're a looter in the middle of a riot. Someone's going to take advantage of this, and you're the one doing it because you got to get your numbers on a bad team. But that's where the advanced stats come into play. Who's more efficient, all those things. Look, Alperen did not shoot the ball at the level he had in the past. And we saw some of that come to play in the playoffs where his touch was off more often than you'd expect of some of those in-between shots where it's not a jumper, it's not a layup, those kind of runner types. He missed some of those you think he should make. So you want, not you specifically, but if someone wants Sabonis over Alperen or the reverse, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Hell, Alperen's a younger player, so maybe take that into account as well. But 36, I probably would have put him in maybe the maybe 30, 20, the 28 to 30
range. Like 25,
whatever.
30.
Yeah, whatever. It's not a giant disparity departure from where I would have put him. But that roster, as people have talked about, is a talented one, pretty loaded. And when you're starting two guard, is the lowest on the list at 98. Still a top 100 player, but they value five guys more. It speaks to what they have and maybe who's most expendable if we go by what the Ringer thinks. So that's just a quick thing to get into.
The last three on this list for the Ringer: Jalen Green, Jordan Poole, Bradley Beal.
They decided, hey, you guys are kind of all alike. We're just going to put you here.
They're like,
we can't differentiate. We're just all put you there.
You guys are top 100 players, but we kind of don't want to.
Yeah, if we could, we'd figure out a way to put someone else there, but we really can't justify.
By the way, Peyton Pritchard, 89.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought to myself, okay. I mean, Peyton Pritchard gets a lot of love because he's been on a good team, been productive, but Peyton Pritchard has never been counted on to be a guy like Jalen Green, Bradley Beal, or Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole, even for the Wizards, who stink, has more attention placed on him than Peyton Pritchard does. The only time Peyton Pritchard gets a lot of attention is at the end of the halves or quarters when everyone knows the Celtics are trying to give him the ball. Other than that, he eats off of everyone else, and he's done that well. I just think he's a little higher than he should be, considering the advantages he has compared to someone like Jalen, who, as much as I don't buy the Rockets' reasoning for why he struggled in round one, he does get more attention game in, game out, night after night, than Peyton Pritchard does. But that's just one ranking that Peyton Pritchard's like nine spots ahead of Jalen there. Okay, we'll go to a break with that, and then we'll hear from Michael Carroll when we come back. The host of Comicast joins us to tell you what you should or shouldn't watch when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
And action.
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll's here with us a day earlier.
Yeah, that's me. That's my bad.
He's busy tomorrow, so he's graceful.
I'm not going to be here
enough to join us. Thankfully, he joined us today, so we thank him for that. So, of course, he has Comicast, which you can listen to wherever you listen to podcasts, and then you can hear it here as well on Wednesday nights here on ESPN 97.5. But your guy, Jong Lee, co-host of Comicast.
That is my guy, yes.
And he is upset.
Oh, very upset.
With the length of time between a show's last season, their previous season, and what is officially their last season coming up here, Stranger Things. Stranger Things will be back. We've seen a trailer come out this week.
Yes.
One kid who was like a nine, it feels like, when he initially came onto our lives, and now is a grown man. We see him screaming in the trailer, among other things. Jong has an issue with what I kind of set up. These guys were kids, young children, and now they're grown adults, and the star of the show is married to a Bon Jovi.
That's true. We were pointing out, season one, the difference between season one, time difference between season one and season two, it was just 1 year, summer 2016 to fall 2017. The difference between season four and season five, over 3.5 years.
Yeah.
From 22 to okay, first of all, the release schedule being the day before Thanksgiving, Christmas Day, and New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Just go weekly at that point. Just go weekly.
Do we know episode distribution for those
four episodes on the day before Thanksgiving, three episodes on Christmas, and one episode on New Year's Eve.
Long series finale on New Year's Eve.
My guess is that that one's going to be 2 hours or something like that.
Got it.
Like a movie. So
they refuse to do what people have suggested they do, considering you've built up enough equity that people will go week to week with you just to finish this thing. Even if it's not good, they're just going to watch it week to week to finish it. And all the conversations that could be had and how much Stranger Things would be in those conversations week to week. They said, hey, we're trying to split the difference where we don't want to give to you in bulk like we did initially, because then we're out of the conversations. But we also don't want to give you the weekly thing. So we're going to give you like 4 hour and 10 minute episodes and then another three. Is that the plan?
Yeah, that's basically the plan.
And then a final series finale.
Which doesn't make sense to me. Like, just go week to week at that point. I mean, it's not out of the realm for them to go week to week with other shows.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. I can't think off the top of my head, like, with their other shows. Do they go week to week, or are they kind of the...
It's more of... It's nothing necessarily that's, like, you would quantify in the same genre as Stranger Things, typically. It's more of their reality shows or competition shows or, you know, more shows that have maybe live elements to them.
Yeah, but, like, scripted series.
Scripted series.
Mostly bulk, right?
It's either... The binge model, or with some of the bigger ones, they've started to do the volume thing.
Yeah, the Korean
Squid Game.
Yes,
yeah, Squid Game.
I was gonna say Hunger Games. I knew it wasn't Hunger Games.
It's not. Yeah, it's just different
seems
ones.
Like the same thing.
They
seems like kind of the same.
It pretty much is.
I mean, yeah,
in some ways, yes.
Hunger Games is more battle royale, though. I would say.
Yeah, that's where that's based off. That's true.
The game itself is a little different.
Yeah, the game
stakes are the same.
The stakes of getting killed. But like, Battle Royale, if you watch that movie, that's more of the Hunger Games comp, I would say. But yeah, with Netflix, it's just the holding on to the binge model, kind of.
I think that's what it is that they're like, hey, we're
it's
the ones
their thing.
Yeah, we it's got you thing. We got you started on all this binge watching.
They are.
We're,
and then
we're the ones that are gonna ride with it till the end, because I think basically every other like major show that comes out on streaming where they know it's a hit. It's already a hit. Like season two, season threes. They all do weekly episodes. Or they do the weird Andor thing where it's three, but it's still over the course of a month.
And that one was, I would say that one's a different beast just because of the way they were telling that story where each chunk was a year.
Yeah.
So that one's like a special case. But even then, I think just streaming services in general just don't know what to do. There was a show I didn't get to mention last week. There's a show called Adults on FX. Uh-huh. That show is week to week on TV.
But in bulk
on Hulu.
Yeah.
Like, just go week to week. Because especially with Netflix, there are so many shows that we don't talk about because they do release it in bulk. And then the next week it's canceled. Or the next 2 weeks it's canceled.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, we didn't get enough views.
Yeah, you get two seasons at most.
At most.
Particularly if it's something they poured money into.
And there's just so many options now. You really do need to start a conversation by having it go week to week. Because then you can get some word of mouth and some buzz on like, oh, yeah, I just started watching the show on Netflix, Paramount Plus, whatever it is. And it can gain some – because we're just in a world of like – there's so many things releasing every week, not just new stuff, but like old stuff, old movies that we were talking last week about the beginning of the month. They change out different movies. So, I mean, there's just so much to choose from now. You need that. Like, I need space.
And to build momentum.
You need
to like create the fan base as you go. Now, less of a deal for Stranger Things. Stranger Things kind of already has.
Yeah, exactly.
Stranger Things,
they've built that. To this point.
At a certain point, it's like you could then – you're not at the level of Game of Thrones, but you could kind of dominate the conversation in the way that a Game of Thrones or a House of the Dragon, Last of Us that just finished, the way that they do.
Stranger Things could dominate the conversation for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Since it's 8 episodes. And also the lengths of the episodes, I imagine, are going to be
– Hour.
Hour and a half in some cases. You know, it's close to movie length, so – Jong was pissed off.
I agree.
Jong was very
pissed off. He has an ally with me.
And at the moment, you mentioned a show on Hulu like Paradise. Well, what they do for a show like that is they'll give you two as a premiere, and then they'll go week to week and try to hook you with those two. And if they do that, then they'll get you week to week. They're across the streaming services. You'll get different models. I am a fan of giving me around – combine 2 hours of television under that or whatever for the first two episodes, and then I am cool with coming back for week three and then week four and then week five.
I think that's like a cool, like good model of the week to week, where it's like we get you a little bit to kind of hook you in, especially if it's maybe something that encompasses, takes two episodes to tell to really like, I get where this show's going.
And Paradise specifically, because it's like kind of a concept show that you need to, needs to kind of unwind over the course. And they kind of do it, they did it kind of like old school TV where the first episode ends on a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
But then because they released the first two right there, you get the payoff on the cliffhanger right mm-hmm. there. And that's the bet that they're making, that at that point you'll be invested and
exactly
hooked.
Exactly. Like the show I talked about last week as well, Department Q, there's a hook with the first episode that like, oh, I'm in. Like I'm in on this. And but again, it's the Netflix model, so I can watch everything.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I appreciate that option, but how many people are gonna be talking about Department Q 2 weeks from now? It's going to get lost in everything. It's a solid show so far.
I think it says to me that they don't know what's good. Like, they don't know what they have until they're told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're
protecting against negative word of mouth.
Yeah. So let's get it all out there.
Well, and the spray and pray kind of model, right?
Yeah.
Like, just throw everything at them and whatever sticks, okay, let's do that. If it doesn't stick in the first, like, 3 weeks, cancel.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you can hear the entirety of Jong's rant on Comicast.
It's a long one, too.
Their latest issue about Stranger Things, of all things. We'll see in the final season of that show if they can, you know, land the plane. We'll see how it goes, as there's a lot to clean up Vecna, among other things. Okay, we'll get to things that are on now or maybe coming on in the next 24 hours or so that you can watch at TV and certainly movies as well. So, Michael, let's get to your list.
I guess let's start with streaming just because – for one, I don't want to say it's breaking news, but earlier today, just a few, like 2 hours ago, the first trailer for Alien Earth came out.
Okay.
And looks very good. It looks very, like, strong on the space horror elements. And I bring that up not only for folks to go check out that trailer, but also the kind of in the same universe kind of thing, Predator Killer of Killers premieres on Hulu tomorrow. It's an animated film that, like, based in the Predator franchise, and for folks that are like, I don't know about animated, no, this 100% give this a shot. It's by Dan Trachtenberg, who did Prey, and he's doing Predator Badlands later this year. It's an anthology animated film where it's telling three stories. They're connected in some way, we don't know how, but if you're looking for the core concept of, you know, it's Predator Killer of Killers, Predator hunts things that are killers, typically,
dangerous,
right?
Yes.
Dangerous. That's what these three short story, well, three anthological. I don't know how to say the word. I brutalized the word, but this anthology of stories, where it's one's a Viking centered on a Viking, one's centered on a samurai / ninja brother duo, and then another one centered on World War II, and the Predator in different periods. And going up against these different hero characters. I think it's... Oh, did somebody call about it?
No, it's no. My father who is unaware.
He should know.
I got 15 minutes left. That's all.
Well, tell him Predator, Killer of Killers. You should go check that out on Hulu. Netflix, I'm bringing up these two international ones just because, one, you know the MMA fighter Ciryl Gane?
No.
I think he fought like John Jones, Derek Lewis, different ones. Apparently, he's starring in a film called KO that releases on Netflix tomorrow, a French film. And Ciryl Gane plays a character who is trying to track down a woman's son. And there's a connection there. I'll let you get into the connections there. Trailer looks cool, but it is in French, so... Like somebody like Sean, like, I don't know, subtitles. But that's available for you, as well as Mercy for None, which is a
I love how you are the illiterate on this show.
Well, you know, I didn't say that. I was just...
As far as movies and TV shows are concerned. Sean can read.
He can read.
He would just prefer not to in his television and TV.
It's just as soon as he sees, subtitles needed, he's like,
When I have to read.
And when you have to read.
When they're, yeah. When it's...
He doesn't want to be forced to
75%
read.
75% Japanese. It's a little tough.
Well, this one...
100% in French. Also tough.
Yeah, yeah. Mercy for None, South Korean. After severing ties with his gang, a former gangster returns to uncover the truth behind his brother's death. It's a series, season one, on Netflix. looks phenomenal. I would definitely recommend that. For folks that are interested in Quantum Leap, season 2 premieres on Peacock. The Accountant 2, one of Sean's, is now streaming today on Prime Video.
Good movie. Go watch it.
Sinners became available on Prime Video, but to buy or rent currently.
Also good.
In-home, also very good.
Watch that.
Call it in-home theater, whatever they call
it. Yeah, whatever they call it. And a movie that maybe not so good, but Alto Nights premieres on Max.
That is the movie where Robert De Niro is playing two roles. They're both mobsters. He looks a little different to match the roles. And oddly enough, he's in another gangster movie.
What a shock, right?
Yeah, so we'll see. Well, maybe you guys will see. I will not watch Alto Nights.
Using that as a springboard to theater releases this weekend, and someone that we frequently see as a gangster, Al Pacino, he's in a new movie this weekend. Did you know?
I was unaware. Oh, is he in the Ballerina. A horror thriller movie?
He's in a horror movie. No, he's not in Ballerina.
He's not in Ballerina.
He's in a movie called The Ritual.
It's
an exorcism, he's a priest, whatever. I don't think I've ever seen this with Rotten Tomatoes. It's 0%.
Oof. That's what? No, no way.
Is it because no one reviewed it?
No, like 22 reviews.
0%.
I've never seen a 0%.
There's a lot of bad movies that don't get 0%.
There's a lot
of bad movies that get like 40%.
Yeah. I've just never seen that before. I was just baffled by it. So I'm not recommending it. I'm just like, hey, if you want to see a train wreck.
It's a notable thing to acknowledge. Like Empire gave it 2 out of 5. Wow.
How is it going to zero if Empire gave it 2 out of 5?
That's what I don't understand. Like, how does this work? Did they just see the movie and were like, we can't even give that. No. Like, I get somebody gave it a 2. I get somebody gave it a 1. Yeah. Don't even average that.
22 reviews, 0% on the tomato meter.
That's wild. So don't watch that. But
or see the worst movie ever reviewed.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's there you go. That's the hook.
Yeah, maybe that's why you watch
maybe
it.
Maybe a matinee. Save a little money.
Like, Deborah from Everybody Loves Raymond is in it. She's playing Mother Superior.
Yeah. Dan Stevens is in it.
Yes, yeah, playing a father.
Kong vs. Godzilla.
Yeah,
and other things like
Kong X Godzilla. I'm sorry. Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey. Yes,
the two things I know him from.
I was gonna say
two
Abigail.
Things I know him from too.
He was in Abigail.
So. Oh yeah, he was in that.
Yeah, there you go.
The Nasty Green, famous from Sparkly Vampires.
Oh, Twilight.
Twilight. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She's in it as well. And yet. 0% on Rotten.
Impossible. I refuse to believe
it's that bad.
I refuse to believe it's that bad.
There's
too.
No way.
What's Megalopolis?
Tying back into the one looks like a bad movie. Two MMA fighters acting.
What? We have another one.
There's another one, but this one's in limited release this weekend. F Plus, starring Randy Couture.
Nope. Out. Sorry.
That's out.
I'm out on it.
Jennifer Esposito, Tommy Davidson.
Jennifer Esposito. They put Tommy Davidson in a movie?
And Big E, the wrestler.
Don't know who Big E is.
It's a group of kids that want to steal their middle schoolers. It's a very PG family movie. Like they're going on a heist to break into the school to change their grades.
Is it a WWE Presents movie?
I don't know. I watched the trailer for it, and I've never seen a trailer more... I've never seen a trailer created in such a way where the person who made it was just like, I don't know, just put the movie together. Like, just it went with the flow of the movie, so you basically get the movie in the trailer. Okay. Yeah, like it wasn't even like spliced in a way to where it was like highlight package or anything like that. It just the person who made it was like,
here are the key beats.
Listen, just watch this, and you've watched the movie.
Randy Couture plays a teacher.
He plays a teacher.
They had to try to ugly up Jennifer Esposito in a classic movie form. They put her in glasses and a brown wig or something like that.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so both of those. Don't watch those. Do watch Ballerina, which is, of course, from the world of John Wick. I don't like to say the whole title. That's how they have it. I'm just saying Ballerina, starring Ana de Armas. Keanu Reeves,
you're
Ian
right.
McShane.
I didn't know the full title was From the World of John Wick, Ballerina.
That's how they've been listing it.
Really?
From the World of John Wick, Ballerina, Ballerina.
They want to let everyone know this isn't isn't a ballet.
I mean,
it's like Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
It's a lot like
I mean,
that.
I get it, but like, it's so wordy.
It's just so wordy.
It's very wordy, yes.
Yeah, I just don't. But also, it's getting good reviews, 76%. character-wise, story-wise, it's like whatever. But I mean, you're not there to necessarily.
I saw the trailer and I was in. You've got a powerful water hose versus a
flamethrower.
Flamethrower. I'm in.
Count me in.
Like that. It's like it's just like when Harry went with against Voldemort in the final confrontation.
Yeah.
Wand versus wand.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like same thing.
It's the same thing.
Except Anna de Armas is in it, and not Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
And there's no way Fired would win.
Well, sure. Well, that. There's no way I thought Voldemort was winning that either. At that point,
yeah,
we know.
I thought there's a chance. You know.
We don't know.
At that point, we know it's going Harry's way because, you know, the books are written.
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
True.
For folks that are you Wes Anderson people here? Are y'all? Do y'all?
I'm not.
I am not a Wes Anderson person.
Well, The Phoenician Scheme releases this weekend. New film from Wes Anderson. Born and raised from Houston. Just want to point that out.
Sorry. Sorry, well, we're not.
Yeah, not fans, but.
When the Rockets make the finals, he can be sitting courtside.
I am a fan of his movies for the most part. The last one, Asteroid City, I was like, that's okay. But, of course, stacked cast, Benicio del Toro, Michael Cera, Mia Throupton, Riz Ahmed, Tom Hanks, Bryan Cranston, Jeffrey Wright, Benedict Cumberbatch, Bill Murray. I mean, it's a
Willem Dafoe.
It's a stacked cast. So
Randy Couture.
No.
Oh.
Biggie? Is Biggie in it?
No, sadly, neither of them made the cut.
Okay.
And then a movie that I'm surprised it's gotten this high of a rating, Dangerous Animals, starring Jai Courtney as a serial killer who uses sharks as his weapon.
Oh, come on. 87% of Rotten Tomatoes, and they gave what movie a zero again?
The Ritual.
The Ritual. They gave a movie with Al Pacino zero, yeah. And they gave a movie with Jai Courtney and controlled sharks in 87?
Yeah.
Man.
I can't wait
how
until
good,
this is
wait a
on
minute.
Prime Video
how
in
good
2 weeks.
Wait, the fact that Jai Courtney is the lead and he's controlling sharks as a serial killer, how good can this movie be that they gave an 87%?
Barely.
That they overlooked Jai Courtney and the remote-controlled sharks given an 87.
No, this
movie must be perfect.
Now, hold on. They're not remote-controlled.
And how are they controlled? Mind control?
He drugs the people, puts them in a cage. Drops them in the water.
They're the body disposal.
Yeah. Oh, they're just regular sharks.
Yeah, it's just regular sharks.
I thought he controlled the
sharks. No, he didn't control the sharks. Let's not get silly here, Del.
Okay,
but he doesn't. Minutes.
You know,
but he uses
this isn't
perfect
Austin
for
Powers with the lasers on the sharks.
So he uses the sharks to get rid of bodies by having them eat the bodies.
Well, no, he they're alive.
Yeah, but
they're
he wants
very
them
alive.
Oh, so he doesn't murder them beforehand.
No.
It's his game he plays.
It's his game. Like, he takes people out. Like, that's part of the thing. He takes people out. Like, oh, check out the water. Clunk, go into the sharks.
Okay, here's the overview on Google. A shark-obsessed serial killer. I'm in. Holds Zephyr.
A rebellious
surfer. Captive. I mean, this is the perfect movie.
And it got an 87%.
Too low.
All of those things makes it sound like Rotten Tomatoes would crush it. And it
racing
got an 87%.
Everyone I've
she must escape.
The critics that I follow, folks, like they're loving it. They're all absolutely right. Loving it so far.
The Jaisons. Let's go.
They actually had a screening this past weekend at a lake where you could watch it like on floaties and things like that, and they had critics and fans just out there on the water just chilling watching this movie. So people are loving Dangerous Animals.
All right, that's a surprise, but I'll take it.
I gotta be honest, did not expect 87%.
Yeah, the premise is ridiculous. Or is it?
But executed perfectly.
Yeah.
Credit. Maybe the writing is dumb, but maybe the acting is great, and maybe the director did a great job. We will see.
And if you let Jack Courtney just be an insane person,
he
could do it.
He'll do that.
He does that very well.
He is good at that. And with that music, it means we are done for the day. Michael, thank you for joining us today. He is the host of Comicast. You can listen to that. He does that with John Lee. Listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts. And, of course, here on Wednesday nights. ESPN 975, so you would have been able to hear it yesterday, and of course next Wednesday as well. Sean, thank you. We're done for the day. Paul Gallant's coming up next, and since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Oh, he dope.
Jai Courtney.
Jai Courtney.
He dope. I'll talk to you tomorrow.